Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I know what I could do now. I'll just use a voice memo, honestly, on either my girlfriend's phone or I could use my phone and just talk to you guys on Skype. My only thing is on my computer. My only thing was my computer sucks. So the last thing I wanted was to try to do two things on it and then have it even using Skype on it is like arguably like, because I remember I tried doing it a couple times.
Yeah.
Way back when we were doing podcasts like a year ago, and my computer would just shit out in the middle of it, and I'm like, oh god.
That sucks. That's right. I built a beast of an editing machine, and then I slapped in a beast of a gaming video card into it, and then I got to where I can't sit up for more than a couple hours, so I can't use it. I can't game. Yeah.
And my thing was I didn't want to drop another $2,000 on a MacBook because I'm over the MacBooks. I'm like, okay, I just want to build my tower.
Wait a second. You don't want to drop $2,000 on a computer?
Not on a MacBook.
Not on an underpowered piece of crap.
There you go.
I'll get over it. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to, if I'm going to spend that kind of, like now I'm, like I still, obviously most of my jobs require a laptop, but like 90% of the time I'm on fucking Google Sheets, Google this, Google that. I'm like, why does the industry want me to have a Mac when I'm using all of Google products that I can literally run off of like an overpowered tablet? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So
I did try to get a Chromebook once. And by tried, I mean, I did have a Chromebook once. Those things are shitty. Those things are awful.
No, I know.
It worked fine for when I was actually able to use it. At New York Comic Con last year, it did exactly what I needed it to do. I was even able to remember when I was in that Capcom and that Pokemon things, you and I were both editing that Google Sheets at the same time. So the Chromebook was actually a pretty sweet deal.
I guess it does depend on which one you get. Like the one I got was like $300 or $400, and that thing, you can barely keep two apps open without it crashing. So,
oh wow!
Oh, I didn't even know that they had ones for that cheap, because I was looking at them, and yeah, the reviews that I were reading was basically like they haven't figured it out yet. They haven't fine tuned it.
That's how I felt. It was just like it was frustrating as hell to use. But I basically was trying to do it, to prolong me getting a laptop, and I ended up spending money on that, working on that for like 2 months, and then getting another laptop anyway because it was so shitty. So that was a stupid choice on my part.
I got the one that I took to New York for $250, and I rented it from a place that you don't usually rent things from. You know, I just kept everything nice and neat and said, "Hey, I don't need this anymore," and returned it.
Oh, I hate you. I hate that. That makes me hate you a little bit. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot worse things I've done, but it's all right because you yourself are a terrible person, as everyone knows that listens
to
this podcast.
I think this reveal might say otherwise, because I like to support people when I use their products.
If it was a mom and pop shop, sure, but this is a big massive chain, so I didn't feel too bad.
Yeah, you're tapping into some indie filmmaking tactics too, because plenty of people do that. You know, I know there's literally a whole, I can't remember the guy's name, the Duplass brothers. Was it Mark? He gave like a whole speech on basically how to cheat the system in the indie film world. Which, I mean, look, if you're taking care of the gear and you're returning it very well taken care of, and you do it, you know, within the 30 days, whatever it is. Actually, I think Best Buy now, because we just had to purchase garments for the road trip. We had to purchase the, like, $400 ones, and they dropped their return date policy to, like, I think it's only 14 days now.
Mm.
So it used to be 30, and now it's 14.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's you just, Jammer, you got to do what you got to do to get the job done, man.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm always of the opinion, hey, if I can't afford it, then I probably should find ways to afford it. That's basically my mentality.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, and good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Jammer. Eric. And how am I the liberal one? How does that work? How am I the one who like wants, you know, people to be taken care of, and you're not? What's that about? And you're the one, you know, ripping people off, and I'm like, oh no, I think you should, you know, find a way to make the money if you don't, if you're going to use it. How did that happen? It's such a backwards ass thing.
I don't know.
The fact that we like are two separate ends of the spectrum, and yet our like our own sort of user habits are like flip flopped.
I needed to get a job done, and I couldn't afford to do the job. I couldn't afford to do it and take care of my family. So I figured out a way to do it.
I get it.
And take
but it's
care
just
of
interesting.
My family.
It's just interesting to me how that's kind of flip flopped. But anyways, also Eric's here. Hey Eric.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Eric.
How you doing? Friday morning, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So, yep. It is the end of the week. It is Friday morning, and I'll tell you what, I spent all day yesterday pissed off. Like, I was really, really angry. I kept hopping on my PS4 and going to the store and checking on the auto download for Final Fantasy VII because they said that it was going to start the downloads on the 3rd. And so I kept looking, and I was getting angry, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then, like, 5:30 in the afternoon, I checked my phone and actually saw that it was the 2nd yesterday. So my auto download is supposed to start today. So I was in a shitty mood all day yesterday for nothing.
I like how it pisses you off because the game's not even going to be available to play until the 10th.
I know, but I want to make sure like each step of the way that I'm there, that I'm set, because you don't understand, like, I've been waiting for this.
I mean, you're not the only one.
I know. I know, and I'm really hoping that that night is one of my insomniac nights where I cannot sleep. And I just stay up till like 10, 11 o'clock the next day playing the game.
Joke's on you. You're going to be on a healthy sleeping schedule by then.
Oh, don't wish that. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I really would love that, to be honest.
Hey, Eric, did you ever play like JRPGs growing up, like Chrono Trigger and stuff?
I played like I didn't get into RPGs until Legend of Legaia. Remember that one?
No, I've never heard of that. Legend of what?
Oh, man. Legend of Legaia. It was a PS1 RPG that was, it was actually kind of unique. You had what was called like an attack bar. So you had to choose combos if you wanted, or special combos that took up a certain amount of that bar. Mm-hmm. And so it's still turn-based, but it was kind of unique in the sense of like, if you wanted to do, I don't know, like punch, kick, and they all took up a certain portion of that bar. And then once you filled it up, you could press, you know, go ahead, and it did it or whatever it was. But that was, I wasn't like super into RPGs outside of like, you know, Zelda until PS1 basically. And then I went back, started playing like, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics, and huge fan of Final Fantasy IX. I think it's like, super underrated.
It is.
And because like 7 gets all the glory, and and even 8, and I'm like, no man, like 9 to me is one of the best games.
I'm not gonna lie, I feel really guilty because I've been finishing up Final Fantasy 9, replaying it. It doesn't hold up very well for me.
Really?
It really doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. I think the battle system's kind of blah. It also still bugs me that Square, for some reason, despite the fact that we have overpowered systems, still has, it takes like 20 seconds for a battle to start in that game.
Which
it's criminal. It's criminal. But also, like, I don't know, it felt a little bit shallow to me compared to most, like the overall story.
Did you download it for Switch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how does it run on? So you're saying it runs as slow as the old one?
Yeah, like literally, I remember the thing I hated about 9, even back on the PS1, was literally, it's like,
Yeah, it takes forever to actually be able to.
Hold on, I'm going. And then maybe now the characters start to appear, and then there's still many slows and popped up, and the camera is spinning around. And then the menu pops up. Like, literally, it takes that long on the Switch. I don't know why.
Well, you know what I think it was? I think they just kind of shoved those. It was, they put 9 on there, and what other one did they put on there? Was it 8? Or no, it was 9, and then they put 12 on there, and I don't know if you guys ever played 12.
I love 12.
You like 12? Because 12 was like a totally different take of Final Fantasy. It was like, you ran around the whole time during the battle, and like, honestly, I did end up liking it later on, but to follow, because remember it went 10, which was one of the greatest in terms of actual looks, story for the time, and then 11 was online somehow. and it was like the new, like it was still like when online was like barely a thing,
mm-hmm.
or at least online gaming I should say, outside of like the computer, and
outside
then,
of like EverQuest or
right,
whatever. Yeah.
Or WoW, because I think WoW was out at the time.
I think WoW was there, yeah.
And so then 12 came out, and it, to me, 12 looked, the graphic of it was not appealing to me. And then the gameplay, I was like, what the hell is this? And then I like ended up really liking it later on, and I did want to go back and play it. But the thing was, the reason I didn't download any of those games was literally because I didn't know anyone who had them, and I was
someone's breaking social distancing laws over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can hear that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it's every about 10 minutes there's sirens. It's pretty ridiculous, and I'm in the quiet parts of Los Angeles.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but
anyways, you were saying.
So anyway, 12 or no, so Jammer, you actually kind of answered questions for me, because my reasoning behind not downloading 9 immediately when I saw it was, I was like, I wonder if this has the same loading times, and if it does, I'm out. Like,
it does.
So yeah, and so I think what it was I just sort of pushed them out there for the Switch, and my biggest, I got so irritated because I'm like, okay, you're gonna shove out Final Fantasy, but where the fuck is Kingdom Hearts? Why is Kingdom Hearts not on the Switch? And
yeah, I'm surprised too. That's weird, right? It should be. Like, 1 and 2 should be on the Switch.
Yeah.
Their spinoffs. They need to remake those 3DS shit for the Switch too.
The 1.5 and the 2.5 HD remixes, I think the Switch could easily handle those. Kingdom Hearts 3, I honestly don't know if the Switch can handle it.
I don't think it could. I don't think it could. Not at all.
Yeah,
not even close.
So the Wii U could have, but
not
I don't
3.
Know.
Not Kingdom Hearts 3, because that just came out last year for the PS4.
Yeah, it's got a lot. It's got to have a lot of processing power, because there's a lot going on the screen at one time, way more than any other game out there, and it's high def.
But it could definitely handle every other entry other than 3.
Definitely easily. Yeah.
But the reason I was, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that was it. I was waiting for the verdict on if that was still running, and then if they were gonna I don't know. They're not putting 7 on the Switch, are they?
They already
did. The remake or just the original?
No, the remake.
No,
hell no. That thing is definitely not running on the Switch. That thing could not run on it, sadly.
It's estimated right now to be like 89 gigabyte download.
No, it's over 100.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They originally did, but there was something I saw the other day that the initial download to like minimum to play is 89 gigs, and then it's like more, something like that. There's two numbers floating out there. I'd heard a long time ago that it was going to be over 100 as well. So I've got about 200 gigs of space free on my SSD in the PS4 right now.
But yeah, I brought up this because there's actually, I'll let you finish before we transition to the original point I wanted to make. Continue.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really liked 12, and you both should check out the Zodiac Age, which I think they did release on the Switch.
It's on Switch, yeah.
Yeah, the Zodiac Age, it made the gameplay and designing your characters a little bit more fun. I really appreciated the updated graphics, and I always felt like that was like the future of Final Fantasy Battle. And then when you get to 15, it's all action RPG. And then 7's demo seems a little bit like a step back towards something like 12. In between 12 and 15 is what 7 Remake feels like to me. But it feels beautiful. I loved it.
I love it more than
I'm so excited for it.
I liked it more than 15 quite a bit because 15 felt, and I haven't played a lot of it, basically what I've played of it, it feels like it's trying to be something that's not Final Fantasy to me, whereas, you know, just full-on action, but then 7 Remake manages to sort of have that action aspect, but also bring, like, the more technical turn-based feel aspect without it being turn-based, exactly. So I think I like it a lot more.
Yeah, and 12 was a turn-based, but you could use... There's some more tactical things about getting around towards the back of your enemies when your ATB was filled up and it was your turn to attack. If you could attack them on their weak side, you could do more damage and stuff like that. So that's why I say 7 feels like that space between 12 and 15, but perfected and gorgeous. And I just, God, I cannot wait until next week.
So the 12... When you just stand, like, does your character just stand there and auto attack? Is that how that works?
No.
You can set it up for gambits, and they're gonna walk around no matter what.
Setting up for gambits does not mean anything to anyone who hasn't played Final Fantasy XII.
So that's what you can set all your characters up with. Basically controls. You basically program your character, like your healers, because you can only control one character at a time, but you can give commands to all the characters if you want. There's like a weight system where you can go into the battle, and once you initiate commands, everything stops. You give all three or four of your characters, if you got a guest, a command, and then they'll go execute it. Or what you could do is like live battle with you controlling one character, and you program the other members of your team, and you do it with these things called gambits. And it's like it'll be like a condition and then the action. So the condition for a healer might be any team member falls below 50% health, use cure 2 or cura on them. And then attack condition is if leader is being attacked, attack that enemy. Do you see what I'm saying? Like you pick a condition and then an action for them to complete. And then they do really well if you program them really well enough. And you can just leave them, your other characters alone, and you can just control Bosch or Ash is usually who I'm controlling, because Vaughn, as soon as I can get rid of that little asshole, I get rid of him as as my lead character. But it's cool, man. Yeah.
Well, I brought this up because I'm probably not going to get to it anytime soon. I have a million other games that I need to get to, sadly. And I don't play nearly enough to go through them quickly. So literally it's like, I go through 2 games a year, maybe. So it's just going to keep falling back on that list there. And I buy way more than 2 games a year. So that doesn't help things. But, what I thought was cool, there's this new game that is up on Kickstarter called Sea of Stars. And I sent it to you, Kyle.
Yes. Yeah. Took a look at
it. It's very much inspired by Chrono Trigger, and like I know a lot of people was like, "Oh, inspired by Chrono Trigger," but like it legit is. Like the art style, it doesn't look the same, but like it very much has that same sort of feel to it. The pixel art, And also it has that the battle system where you run into enemies on the screen and you're not like transported to a separate battle screen. You're actually fighting like on the same screen. And I feel like Chrono Trigger is the only one that actually did that properly. And I can't think of any other game that actually did it. I don't know why more games don't do it, but I don't know. It looks great. And the battle system looks awesome. And I just got really excited for it because it looks great. And
I did peep the trailer that you posted or the Kickstarter campaign.
What'd you think?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what I felt like when I watched it. I was like, oh, Chrono Trigger. Like, I was like, it looks like that. And a lot of that's coming, that style is like coming back in terms of a lot of these indie game companies are producing, you know, the same look and the same feel that we had when we were growing up, just with new stories and new characters, which is pretty exciting. It's just there's so many damn games out there now that it's like you said, I don't have time for them. I mean, and then I get so caught up with, you know, Animal Crossing that it, you know.
I kind of got a feel of because you got the two characters with two separate types of powers that seem that there'll be times that you'll activate one over the other. Sometimes you'll activate two. I kind of got a Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons feel from looking at the trailer as well. It looks just because you had the same type of deal. There were certain weapons and situations where certain items were used for certain things, and it does look awesome. And I've already I've mentioned this on the show before. My son, he got the Switch for his birthday. That is his console. It's downstairs. Anybody can play it, just like, you know, it's my PS4, but he's playing it. During his game time sometimes, because Lego Dimensions, we got it on there. And I can't wait for some of these JRPGs coming down the line on the Switch. To when he's not using it, I will be. Like Bravely Default 2nd two. I can't wait for that. That was such a great game on the.
Did you download the demo for that?
3D. No, there's a demo for it already.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what I'm doing after this show then.
Yeah. It's right, like guys, I think.
And
that's that. We're done. No more show for the day. I guess we're almost done anyway. But I guess I do want to say, what the fuck was I going to say? God damn it, I forgot. This is what happens. This is what happens when I go into tangents, where I let you guys go on a tangent. What was I going to say?
More about the game Sea of Stars.
And I don't know what I was going to say.
You're like going to tell me what your opinion of Tiger King was.
I've still only watched one episode. I thought it was fine, but I'll watch more. Like I'll keep watching
any of that yet. I keep hearing about it. I haven't watched any of it.
Something that happened isn't in favor of Tiger King is that the fourth season of Kim's Convenience popped up on Netflix. So I'm definitely going to be watching that. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. It's a Canadian show about a Korean family that owns a convenience store in Vancouver, I think. And it's just a sitcom. It's a fun sitcom. But you guys might like it because Simu Liu, who is playing Shang-Chi, is one of the main characters or one of the main actors in it. So if you want to get a little taste of what Shang-Chi or the Shang-Chi guy is, you know, his acting abilities and all that, watch that show. And he's awesome. He's great. So
that's one of the films I'm most looking forward to on Marvel's Phase 4 slate is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I'm really interested more so in the Ten Rings and the real Mandarin more than I am the hero himself, because the Mandarin was always a really great villain in the tactics that he used, and it was always interesting to see magic going against Stark's technology, which is also why, like, I always like Doom versus Stark, because Doom is technology and magic. So I'm really interested in what they're going to do with that background of the Ten Rings and Mandarin. And Shang-Chi, of course, is I've never read a single one of his comics, not gonna lie. So yeah. I'm excited to be introduced to something completely new.
Yeah, same with the Eternals for me. The Eternals and this and a couple, I think one or two others that I haven't really, I've not like very limited to no exposure to. I'm just like, yeah, I'll just go in blind, not have any idea what to expect. I did that with Guardians. That worked out. Like
me. Yeah, that was me with Guardians. Do you read comics at all, Eric?
You know, my comic collection consists of Scooby-Doo.
Nice.
And like Adventure Time and Regular Show, and I have some very like older comics. I got a bunch of Simpsons ones, mm-hmm. Ren and Stimpy.
Okay.
So I'm in that like all those comics. I do have, you know, some old Batman ones too, but my comic game is not exactly strong in the in the superhero world, but I was really into, like I said, a lot of the older ones too. Anything Looney Tunes based, anything.
Nice.
So I have like, I always search for those.
Did you read the old DuckTales comic books?
You know what? It's so funny. I used to have a bunch of them, and I had them in.
You mean
box.
Like the Uncle Scrooge comics or the DuckTales? Was there a DuckTales comic?
No, there was. I think they're both.
There's both.
There's both. Because okay. there was the books that were. Oh man, the name escapes me. They had the little gold like binding on the end.
Oh, those are what are those called? Like gold something books, little gold books, something like that.
Yeah, but they
My
had
Little
all
Golden
them.
Book. I think that's what it's called. My Little Golden Book.
Yeah, so I used to have a bunch of those that was like the Uncle Scrooge ones, but then there was the DuckTales in there. I think they were like teasing bringing back DuckTales too, right?
Oh, well, I don't know about comic books, but the show, that's what I was trying to segue to. The show is the three seasons they have out at Ask Jammer. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And the fourth season is premiering this Saturday. And I'm curious to see if they'll pop up on Disney Plus.
I still have to get Disney Plus going. My girlfriend's had it for however long since it came out, when we still have yet to pop it in. I'm still trying to like catch up on some other shows. Like I just realized that I'm not caught up on Fargo. And I'm like, wait a second, I have to get caught up on Fargo. And
But is Fargo actually a show that you catch up on, since each season is standalone?
You know what? I mean, I literally think I only finished season one, so you probably just... so I don't know.
Each season is like its own separate story.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I've only seen the movie. I haven't seen the show. I heard good things about the show, though.
The show is great. Like if you like the movie, then you pretty much will like the show. I actually think the show, in my opinion, is anything could be faster than that pace, but it's a little bit faster paced than the movie. The movie is pretty slow, but it's one of the greatest Coen Brothers movies like ever. I think it's one of the greatest films period.
Yeah,
like, it's just so good.
You want to talk about a really slow movie, Insomnia. I think Nolan wrote it. I don't think he directed it, but it has Al Pacino
and Robin Williams
in Alaska, and it deals with like a murder and a detective story. That was a slow paced fucking movie.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Oh wow,
I liked it.
It was interesting, but it was slow. Super slow.
You're talking to somebody who literally dislikes The Godfather strictly because of how slow it is.
Oh.
Yeah. like I think Godfather is one of the most boring movies ever, and I could care less what anyone, if anyone.
Nope, 2001. 2001. That's a slow movie.
Oh, Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. But I feel like if you're on enough acid, you can enjoy it. I don't know if the same is said about The Godfather, because The Godfather might scare you, but 2001 can be enjoyable.
Speaking of drugs, not that we did any, but the Eric Andre show is a show that I think people that do partake in mind-altering substances enjoy more than those of us that are sober watching it. But I actually showed Christine, my wife, a few episodes, and completely sober, she actually enjoyed a few of them. So okay. I think there's something wrong with my wife.
No, I think it, you just have to get it. You just have to understand where it's coming from and what it's trying to do. And yeah. then once you do, you can. It just comes down to taste from there. I think when if you go into it and not knowing what it is, then it's like, what the fuck am I watching? Which is confusing.
It finally got good to me when they had Tatiana Ali on it from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and she really was clueless as to what the hell was going on. That's when I finally started laughing. I think that was like episode three or four. So
I think what was a really good one was Flavor Flav when he came. I think it was Flavor mm-hmm. Flav.
I felt the same way about like the whole like, oh, you can't be in the sober state of mind. I initially felt that about Tim and Eric when they came out way back when.
Fuck those guys.
And I think at first I had watched it, I'm like, okay, I can't. And then I was like, hey, let me try and get really stoned and watch it. I still had a problem with it. It wasn't until one day I was playing like beer pong with my college like homies, and we were at their lake house, and they were like, I'm going to put on Tim and Eric in the background while we play and get drunk. And it wasn't until I was like actually like drunk that I was like, okay, this show can be funny when you're drunk. Mm. And so it was one of the first shows that I was like, there's not a lot of shows that I can really enjoy while I'm drinking, I guess, or drunk, unless it's also Tiger King, which I think, you know,
fucking show.
but Tim and Eric to me was like, oh, I could get drunk and watch this. And then now for some reason, I used to hate on them all the time. I was like, why the fuck are these guys relevant or anything?
Why does Adult Swim give them fucking money?
Yeah, but I gotta say though, like after like having it grow on me and just some of the humor that's come, like all the old stuff that they've done now to me, is I'm like, wow, this is just so stupid that it's funny. And then what was it, Tim Heidecker or whatever? He did a whole documentary about how he ran for governor of San Bernardino, and I haven't checked it out yet, but.
No, I remember Tom Goes to the Mayor, and I gave it a shot because I used to love Adult Swim, and I couldn't get into it. And then when they moved on from Tom Goes to the Mayor to Tim and Eric Show, Awesome Show or whatever the fuck, I just fucking hated it with a passion. I do love the classics though. I do love me some Aqua Teen Hunger Force before the Moon Knights or whatever became the lead in when Dr. Weird was the lead in to that. I love all the Dr. Weird bits. I liked, of course, the original Space Ghost Coast to Coast. C-Lab 2021. And then like newer shows like Rick and Morty, of course, I like that. And the glorious, glorious Venture Brothers.
Yeah, well, it's you're talking some serious nostalgia, because Space Ghost was on, that was another show that I think was kind of under the radar, like now I think would be more relevant and popular than it was when it was
on. They brought it back now? Yeah.
Well, what's his name, you know, he's dead, unfortunately he passed.
Yeah.
The
guy that did the voice, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also basically responsible for that company that basically... Oh man, I can't think of the name of the company. It's on the end of like all these cartoons.
Williams Road or Williams House or something like that. It's named after something in Atlanta. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he basically was responsible for Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, you know, like I guess acquiring the rights to that whole cartoon in itself. Because I don't know if you ever actually watched the Space Ghost cartoon, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then he had you know, Johnny Quest is obviously what Venture Bros is based off of. So
yep.
I actually never got into Venture Bros as much as I should have. Like, I feel like I didn't give it a chance, but I should.
Oh, you need to go back. I think it's on Hulu, and give it a shot, man. Venture Brothers is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely should, because I love Johnny Quest.
Did you like the Johnny Quest with the 3D world, the computer world thing?
Oh yeah.
Well, nostalgia is always great, and we can talk about nostalgic things forever. But sadly, we must let this one end here for now. So thank you, Eric and Jammer, so much for being on the show today. Everyone, thank you for listening this today and this whole week. Please make sure you're checking out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lots of great content there, celebrity interviews from the past, and live Los Fanboys. The Los Fanboys podcast is live now. Speaking of our YouTube channel and the celebrity interviews, please keep Gig Pata in mind. He is still in the hospital, Jammer.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, still in the hospital.
He's in the hospital, possibly COVID-19. Give him a follow, Gig Pata, on Twitter, and let him know that you care and are thinking about him. He's part of our LRM family. And of course, the LRM Online Podcast Network, with all the great shows: Breaking Geek Radio, LR Mornings, LRM's Top 5. Los Fanboys will still be available on the podcast network, but it is also broadcasting live on Fridays. So check that out on YouTube.
Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific time.
There you go.
Yeah.
And thank you. What's up?
I was just going to encourage everybody anyone who's listening to join us tomorrow, and make sure you
today.
Comment. Join us today and make sure you guys throw some comments at us or bring anything you want to. Yeah, we love it. And we'll see you. I will see you guys soon. Hear you guys soon.
Eric, where can people find you at online?
Just find me at Instagram at Mr. Turd Sandwich.
There you go. Jammer, where can people find you, you terrible person, at
find
online?
Me on Twitter at Jam the Writer, and all of my books at under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon.
Good stuff. You guys can find me at That Calm Alone on Twitter. Be sure to log in for the Los Fanboys show today at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.